Well, good evening.
Good to see all of you this evening, and I hope you enjoy this evening and be here tomorrow. We had a great day today. By the way, anybody who wants the tapes of this morning or any of the other material, there's a sign-up tablet in the back. Please put your mailing address down. Before I begin my lesson this evening, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is where we'll be this evening. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer, please? Our holy and gracious Father who art in heaven, we lift up your name, Father, and praise you, thanking you for the offering of your Son, Jesus. For your Spirit is the guarantee and seal of our sonship, for the promises you have made. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask your special blessing upon Mary Lynn. That Heavenly Father, you will help those doctors and nurses and those that are involved in serving her to be at their best. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you could heal her body and lift her up and restore her to good health. Please be with Kevin, the family, the boys. And dear Heavenly Father, be with all of us and our families. Help us in our health and our spiritual health. These things we pray in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. You know, there's a key to living with another person or in your relationship with that person. Or, by the way, your relationships that you have in life, whether it's the church, extended family, places that you work, the community that you live in. By the way, the answer to having an appropriate relationship is the Word of God. Now, when I say that, you've got to understand that you and I live in a society where our feelings have become the authority. How we feel about something, what we think about something, how we view something generally is what we basically work from in this society. But you need to reframe your thinking. By the way, the writer was right in the Old Testament. What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you spend your time with in your thinking, that's what you will become. In fact, that will drive the motives in your life, which will drive your behavior. It will determine whether or not you're someone who follows God or you're someone who chases after your own desires, your own passions, and they become your Lord. Now, by the way, all the problems that you have in your life come from what you've chosen to do, yourself, and how you've responded to what has happened to you in life. When you look at your life and you look back and say, man, this thing hasn't turned out like I wanted it to turn out. Well, take a look at yourself in the mirror. You're responsible for some of that. So how do I shape my thinking to have a life that is not only beneficial, brings glory to Christ, and also instills love in the life of those that I am around and have been put in my life? Well, I've got to know what God says. Now, let me show you why that's so important and how significant that is. We're going to study the temptation of Jesus. And you say, well, what has that got to do with it? Well, I want you to watch, since Jesus is my example. Since Jesus is what my life is about, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Is that really true? Well, if it's true, then I need to listen to Him, what He did, how He did it, why He did it. Why does He give such authority to Scripture? He sets Scripture over what His own desires and passions would have requested. Now, let's prove that. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now don't go anywhere else. Jesus was led by the Spirit. You understand that that's a choice for Him to follow the Spirit. Now the Spirit did not lie to Jesus. He wasn't deceiving Jesus. He let Jesus know, you're fixing to go into the desert and you're not going to eat for 40 days. Obviously He drank water. Just didn't eat. And He said, you're going to be tempted by Satan. The Spirit wasn't deceiving Jesus. And are you ready for this? The Spirit said you need to go to the desert, go through that fast, go through that temptation. And guess what Jesus said? Okay. He knows where He's going. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Now here's the real question. Do I have that kind of attitude? Do I have that kind of approach to God? Oh, is that what you said, Lord? I'm going to come down here where you are. Is that what you said? Is that what you want? Okay, I'll do it. Did you hear what I just said? Okay, Lord, I'll do it. Because you see, that's the way Jesus was. By the way, in the Scripture, it constantly says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Isn't the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth that Jesus sent to remind the disciples? He said, I will remind you of all things I have taught you. How much is all? Hey, I got it. I got anything God wanted me to know. It's right here. And the reason that we don't respond to God appropriately is we've not spent enough time in trusting what God says, then trusting Him enough to make application of it. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He wasn't dragged by the Spirit. He wasn't forced by the Spirit. He chose to do what God requested of him to do. Now, God said, love your neighbor. Are you going to be led by the Spirit? Are you going to believe what the Spirit recorded that God wants? You see, you've got to understand that makes a difference. Your feelings do not trump what God wants. Because, see, God wants the best for you. Why does He want that? Well, Mike, if you're... you do what I say and you love neighbor, your neighbor. You'll get out of yourself because you've got to get out of yourself to go do that. And I'm trying to free you from yourself because yourself has tied you up so much with its wants and its desires and its pleasures and its intent and its agenda that many times I can't even use you because you're so wrapped up in you. By the way, how often do you spend time with it? Now he said, my disciples will abide in my teaching. And they know the truth, and truth will set them free. Now, I said this morning in John 8, what's the truth, Jesus? You will abide in the life of Jesus. If you abide by His teaching, what is His teaching? Jesus is saying, let me show you how to live. Let me show you what's wrong with mankind. Let me show you why I've come here to change it, so I can free you from all that sinfulness and all that selfishness. And all that greed and envy and anger and frustration and depression. Listen to me. I'll lead you out of that. Now, you've got to believe that. And maybe that's the problem a lot of the church faces, or maybe that you face, is that you don't have any faith. Oh, wait a minute. I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. Well, the devils do that, my friend. Believing Jesus is, you actually incorporate what He says and you act upon it. That's believing. So He says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. You know, that's almost an understatement. I couldn't make it till tomorrow evening. Oh, you noticed. I remember one time I thought I was hungry. I used to be attached to Special Forces and we were really humping it, and there wasn't nothing to eat, and I wasn't feeling like eating what they told me we could eat, and I thought I was hungry. But then you know what? I went to Africa one time, and I saw what hungry was. You and I don't know hunger. Let me tell you something. Jesus was hungry, man. He wanted something to eat. He needed something to eat. He was at the edge of life. You do understand that, don't you? 40 days, no food? He's at the edge of life. The very edge of life. And so what's screaming? What's trying to take control? The flesh. How often we yield to our desires. The flesh is powerful. And so guess what? And by the way, Satan's pretty smart. He said, you know, this guy is the Son of God. So I got to get him all the way to the end. I've got to take him to the very end. To where it's life and death. Now, do you understand that? That this is a life and death situation that Jesus is in. But let me show you how this story really unfolds. So that you can understand the motive of Jesus. And what Jesus is asking us to follow. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are. Oh man, I'll tell you what, how many times have you had struggles in your life and all of a sudden you had this doubt, is God really there. Maybe you haven't had that kind of struggle yet. But I'll tell you what, you live long enough, you just might endure a struggle like that. Boy, this is a hard time. Things aren't going like I want. I've got all these troubles in my life. Yeah, where are you, God? You know, I'm your child. Because you see, God had already told Jesus, don't you eat a thing till I tell you you can eat. Because you don't think that Him being the Son of God, He couldn't have turned a stone into bread? He couldn't have provided Himself from food? He couldn't have caused manna to fall from heaven? He's doing exactly what God asked Him to do. Now, you've got to understand sometimes in doing what God asks you to do, it will take you to the very edge of your faith. But don't roll over. And don't give up. And don't buy the lie that the happiness is in you pursuing your desire. Because that will bring you nothing but sadness and heartache. Give it time. It'll do it. He said, if you are the Son of Man, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And you got that power, Jesus. God gave you that power if you're the Son of God. Of course, He's trying to put doubt in Him too. And so, you know, He might even have an issue of pride here. Well, let me show you I'm the Son of God. Boy, I'm hungry. Turn that to bread. Of course, you and I never wrestle with pride, do we? Pride goes before the fall. You see, we got to be right. Because if I'm wrong, I can't justify what I've been desiring, what I've been wanting, what I've been pushing, what my agenda is. And so pride comes in. But watch what Jesus' response is. Now here's the Son of God, and He says, but He answered, it is written. Now wait a minute. He didn't give Him some kind of theological or philosophical lecture. What did Jesus depend on? The Scripture. He read it. He knew it. You can't talk to guys in the temple at 12 years old and amaze them if you hadn't read what God had said. And are you ready for this? He believed what God said. He believed what God said about Him and what God's intentions were and what God wanted. All Jesus had to do was make one slip. We wouldn't even be here today. We wouldn't be talking about this today. I'm not sure the world would be here today. But He didn't. You know why? He didn't pick up that bread. Are you ready for this? He didn't pick it up because of you. He was not only showing you a way, He was willing to give it all to pay for you. And your debt that you owe because you have been sinful, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have willfully been lawless in doing what we want to do. Chasing the things we wanted to chase. Manipulating the people in our lives that we wanted to manipulate for gain. He did it for you. He's also showing me the way. First of all, He let the Spirit lead Him. Hey, let Him lead you in how you ought to have a relationship. How you ought to be in your responses to others. What you ought to be concerned about. Jesus said, love as I have loved you. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You mean that's life? Yeah, that's life. Because you could revel in everything that's down here, gain it all, and cost you your soul. I want to ask the question again. How often have you read Scripture for you? Not for someone else in mind, but you. Lord, what is it you want me to know? What is it you want me to grab onto? What is it you want me to be set free of? How do you want me to deal with me? Is that how you read it? If you read it at all? Well, Mike, how can you say that to the church? If you read it at all? I've been in years of counseling people, members of God's church, and I am amazed at what they don't know about what God has said and why He said it. And they wonder why they're in the trouble and dilemma and in the problems and in the behaviors that they're in. Because you see, they didn't look at this world around them and all the desires, the temptations and the troubles and say, oh, it's written. I can't live by that alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now you know, if you're here today, you know who you are. You haven't paid attention to it, spent much time with it. All you read about every book, watch TV, wear out your iPads, your iPhones, you name it, man. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can be on the internet and everything else and don't even listen to what's written. I thought James said the implanted Word of God will save a man's soul. You need to consider what God has said. At least consider what He said and weigh it against what this world is saying. At least do yourself that much of a favor. Now watch as this goes on. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. And on your hands they will bear you up, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Hey man, test God. Whatever you do, don't test God. Trust God. Somebody doesn't love you, you continue to love them. You trust God. Don't try God. Because see, God knows what you need and why you need it. And if you'll trust Him through the trials and tribulations, and you are faithful in that trial and tribulation, He will bring you out on the other side. And are you ready for this? He'll bring you out on the other side with not only enlightenment, but are you ready? Light, life. You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll understand. You'll see. Don't you want to see what really is true? Jesus is that truth. He came down to show us what truth really was like. What life was supposed to be like. How it was supposed to be lived. That's the truth. That's what God created us for, to be like that. Not like we've turned it and perverted it and changed it in all of its ugliness and its hurt and its pain. And Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Now watch this next one. This is amazing. "Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world." Now, you got to understand one thing. Jesus hasn't eaten yet. Is He still hungry? You bet He is. You think He doesn't want to taste that bread that stone was? You bet He does. "Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." But watch this. "And showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." That is a bona fide first class lie. Satan can't give you anything. He doesn't want to give you anything. And the only thing he's about is taking from you and wants to take your life forever. That was a lie. All of that belonged to God, not to Satan. You don't listen to God, you're listening to a lie. And it won't give you anything, but it will take from you. And could take all you have to the point that your heart's hardened. Because you're not listening to the truth, but you listen to a lie. You follow the lie. Well, you know, if I have this or that or this, if my circumstances were better, oh, life would be so wonderful. It's all a lie. Of course, isn't it amazing how many people today in this life we live in believe the lie? So they pursue everything but their spouse. They pursue everything but their children. They pursue everything but their friends. They pursue everything but their brothers and sisters in Christ and everything except, and they don't pursue the lost. Going after all of that thinking it will bring value and happiness to your life. It is a lie. Now, if you bow down to you, you will become the son of Satan. Give it time. If you bow the lie. Oh man, bow down to me. I'll give you all of this. You deserve it. Look what you've been put through. Look how hungry you are. Look what I can give you. He's not going to give you anything. Because if Jesus had thought He could, and He succumbed to that lie, Jesus would have lost everything. And so would have you and I. Lost it all. So what does Jesus say? "And then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan. Look, I've had enough. I know I'm hungry. I know I'm tired. I know I'm at the point of death. But I love my Father, and I love all of those that I have come to save, and I will not bow down to you. For there is only one I bow down to. Begone, Satan, for it is written." Do you hear that? It's written. By the way, John said, I write these things that you might know that you have eternal life. How do you know that you have a relationship with God if you've not spent time with the Word of God, put those things in practice, realize the reality of what He has said in your own life? How do you know you're saved? You know, He gave us assurance that we could know. Read 1 John. You can know. And tonight, you know whether or not you're one that really listens to God's Word and follow Him, and that you try to put it into practice because you love Him. You know whether or not you're one of those or not. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Why do I want to just serve God? Because you see, God's trying to get me to let go of me. He's trying to get you to let go of you, because it's you that is your worst enemy down here. It's you ought to fear as well as God. And if you'll listen to Him, He'll teach you how to let go of all these things you want and all these things that you think you deserve and all these things that you think ought to be made right in your life because of what you've gone through, which keeps you from actually loving people around you, because now you're going to make them all pay in some way because life hadn't turned out like you wanted it. Then the devil left him. You want evil out of your life? You want all that stuff that is emotionally wrong out of your life? Then listen to what is written. Surrender to what is written. Apply what is written. Watch it change you and your life if you want the evil out of your life. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and we're ministering to him. Now, I want to read one section of Scripture that we're going to close with, and I want you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, and let's go to chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. And I want you to begin with me in verse 44. Gospel of John, chapter 12. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come to the world as a light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. What do you mean remain in darkness? Remain in that old you that keeps sticking the stick in the mud puddle and dirtying up the clear water. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. How does it do that? How does the word judge me on the last day? Because the word taught me how to live, told me who Jesus was and what it was all about. And I rejected it for me, for what I wanted. And so I talk to mom and daddy like I want to talk. Or I lie to my spouse. I pretend before my brethren. And I let the lost walk into hell so I can have my way. Do you believe the lie? Then quit living the lie. And watch how he finishes now. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father told me. That's why he looked at Satan and said, it's written. And every time he said, it's written. You know what that says? I know what my Father says. I know what my Father wants. I know what my Father told me. And I believe it, and that's the life I want to live. Because I love my God with all of my heart, soul, and mind. And I love my neighbor as myself. And you might ought to love yourself enough to love God and your neighbor by listening to what God says. Now, as we offer an invitation tonight, I'm going to read a passage. And when I get through reading the passage, just stand up and sing the invitation song, all right? Y'all listen to this. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. As we stand and sing.